squad cars. The story you're about to hear is true. Details are supplied from the official case files by the South African police. Only names and places have been changed to protect innocent people involved.
Durban, Tuesday, February the 20th, 11:30 a.m. The Berea branch of the Central Bank Limited has a large, cool home, a welcome refuge from the baking summer day. The early banking rush is over, and the dearth of customers affords teller David Pienaar time to check his balance. He has nearly finished his task when a tap on the locked door behind him makes him glance up.
Davy, what's the trouble?
No trouble. Foreign exchange wants some small notes. Can you help him out?
What's he need?
20 singles.
No trouble. Hand over the money.
Here.
19, 20. There you are.
Thank you.
Hey, see the paper this morning?
Paper?
Yeah, on the front page. Another bank robbery. Some blokes walked into a bank with guns, held them up, and took off with about 20,000.
Yeah. Aren't you scared it'll happen to you?
What's to be scared about? I'm no hero. If they came at me with guns, I'd say take the lot and welcome.
You wouldn't.
I certainly would, Jack. Anyway, it's standing instructions. That's what the bank wants us to do.
You're joking.
No, I'm not. Ask any of the tellers. They want to avoid any chance of bloodshed. Can't risk giving the bank a bad name or something like that.
Yes, well. Well, thanks for the change.
My pleasure, Jack. See you around.
Hi, Jack.
Hi, Andrew. Hey, listen, are you doing anything after work?
Well, nothing serious. Why?
Look, I can't talk now. I've got to nip over to foreign exchange. There's something I want to talk to you about.
Well, I'll meet you in the pub when we knock off, eh?
No, not the pub. Come to my flat tonight.
p.m. A flat perched high on Ridge Road. Jack Phillips opens the glass door leading from his neat bed sitting room, and beer in hand, he strolls onto the balcony. It's a calm, cool Durban evening. From this high point, Jack can see dozens of ships lined up in the roadstead outside Durban Harbour. One by one, navigational and riding lights wink on. Jack sighs contentedly and takes a sip from the dew-beaded glass in his hand.
Yeah. This is the life, man. This is the life. Oh, 5:30 on the dot. You're a punctual man, Andy Webber.
Okay, I'm coming.
Ah, well, now that's what I like to see. The host polishing off the beer supply before his guests can get at it. A man after my own heart.
Well, you haven't missed much. I'm only two sips into the first one.
Right. Give me a chance to catch up, will you?
Come on in.
Okay.
The beer's in the fridge. You know where it is.
Yep, certainly do. What's so special that we couldn't talk in the pub?
I'll tell you when you've got a beer.
That won't be any time at all, I can tell you. Now then, what's the big secret, eh?
Well, sit down, relax.
Okay. Oh, just pass that glass, will you?
Sure.
Done. Nothing better after a hard day. Well, here's looking at you.
Cheers. You got a lot of money in the bank, Andy?
You're joking, of course. It costs too much just to stay alive these days. Well, I mean, I am trying to say, but... Yeah, I wouldn't mind a car like yours for a start.
Yes. It's nice, but it's not paid for.
And this flat. Well, I mean, you know, it must set you back a bit.
Almost more than I can afford. That's what I wanted to talk to you about.
What's the big scheme? You planning to rob a bank or something?
That's exactly what I am planning, Andy.
What? Oh, now look. Don't do that when a bloke's drinking, will you? I nearly believed you for a second there.
You better believe me, Andy, because I do mean it.
I think you do mean it. Now look here, Jack.
No, hang on. Hear me out, Andy, will you? It's a lot easier than you imagine. I mean, we ought to know. We work there.
Well, I don't know what to say, Jack. You are serious, aren't you?
Never more serious in my life. Think about it, Andy. Think how much the tellers carry at the end of the month. Thousands. And that's only in a little branch like Berea. I was talking to Davy Pina this morning. With this rash of hold-ups around town, they've issued new instructions to the tellers.
Shoot on sight, I should imagine.
No, the very opposite. They've been told not to offer any resistance at all.
They've what?
That's just what I say. If an armed robber walks into the bank, they hand over the lot and hope he doesn't shoot. Now think about it. With our knowledge of the bank, we'll know just when to do it, how to go about it. Now that we know the teller won't try any rough stuff, we can't lose.
You're forgetting one thing.
What's that?
They all know us at the bank. Now, what do you imagine will happen if the two of us walk in there with guns and say, hand over the money?
You're still not taking me seriously, are you?
I don't know. I'm trying not to.
We'll wear masks, of course. Someone else will do the talking. We'll just stand in the background to make sure it all goes off all right.
Someone else?
That's right. We need two more boys, and I think I know who. Fellas I was at school with. Don't worry, I'll organize that side of it. Well, Andy, are you with me or against me?
You know, when you think about it, it'll be the biggest laugh of the century.
It'll be profitable, Jack, too, eh?
Yeah, why not? I'm with you, Jack.
The sun falls behind the Berea. Gradually, lights flicker on around the tall blocks of flats. But Andrew Webber and Jack Phillips are quite oblivious of the world outside. They talk far into the night. Much later, Webber walks out of the building with an intent look on his face. But there is determination in his stride, and his eyes are shining. It's now 2 weeks later. Again, a Tuesday morning at the small bank in Musgrave Road. Jack Phillips sits at his desk, glancing first at his watch and then at the huge electric clock on the wall. They both tell him the same thing, 11:30 a.m., and time to move. Phillips pushes back his chair, stands up, looks about him for a moment, and then, as if suddenly making up his mind, walks over to the door marked manager and knocks.
Come in.
Excuse me, Mr. Land, could I have a word with you?
Yes, of course you can. Phillips, come in, close the door, will you? Well, now, what's the trouble?
Well, I'm sure it's nothing serious, sir. It's just that I'm afraid I'm not feeling too well.
Oh, dear. What's the matter?
It's a touch of flu, I think, sir. We're not very busy this morning. I was wondering if it wouldn't be a good idea for me to go home and sweat it out.
Yes, of course, you do that, my boy. Go straight home. Yeah, I'm sure we won't go bankrupt without you.
No, of course not, sir.
Well, off you go, then. I hope you're feeling much better in the morning.
Oh, I'm sure I shall be, sir. Much better.
Ah, there you are. What happened?
Easy as falling off a log. I told him I had flu. Had to go home to bed.
Oh, must be an epidemic starting.
What?
Well, that's what I told the chief accountant. Flu.
Oh. Well, that'll give them something else to worry about. Where are the other two?
Over there, in your car.
Let's go.
Careful, mate. That was a red light. You'd want to get picked up by the traffic cops at this stage.
Sorry, I was thinking. You two in the back. You sure of everything?
Dead sure, Jack.
Bill?
Yeah. We go down to the beachfront now. I find a motorbike. Barry steals a car, right?
Right. And then we all meet at the top of Berman Drive. You leave your car there. We drive down to the bank in the car that I steal.
All except Bill.
But I follow on the bike. Jack, I still don't think we need the bike.
We need it. Trust me. For a start, in the very unlikely event of a police car turning up at the wrong moment, we split up. You go one way and the car goes the other. They can't follow us both. They think about it for just that second we need to get away. Besides, I don't believe in putting all my eggs in one basket. Satisfied?
Yeah, makes sense.
All right, here we are. It's a beachfront. Shouldn't be too hard to find an unlocked car. We look for one with an out-of-town number plate. That'll be the easiest.
people are so trusting.
Hold it a second.
What's the matter?
Pull up, Jack. Drop me here, will you? That bike parked over there. That'll be perfect.
Sure you can get it going?
Should think so. Look at the way the handlebars are pointing. Dead straight. He hasn't locked the steering. I'll just have to cross a couple of wires.
Right, out you get. You too, Barry.
Okay.
Careful now. Don't get caught.
No chance. See you on the hill.
12:15 p.m., Berman Drive. The thick bush towers over the narrow tarmac road. In a small clearing overlooking the winding Umgeni Valley stands the smart sports car of Jack Phillips. In the car sit Phillips and Weber, quiet, nervous. Phillips glances at his watch and turns to Weber.
20 minutes. They should have been here by now.
They'll be here. Just relax.
Have you got a cigarette?
Yours finished?
Yeah. Can you believe it? I plan everything so carefully and then forget to buy cigarettes.
Yeah.
Here. Thanks, mate. Guns all right?
Yeah. Here, in my bag.
Let's have another look at them. I've got to be sure. Four automatics. They weren't easy to get. That's good. They're not loaded. And that's the way they have to stay, Andy.
We wouldn't shoot anyone.
Accidents could happen. I don't want to face a murder charge.
They can hang you for armed robbery these days.
It won't be armed robbery if the guns aren't loaded. They're to threaten with, that's all.
You know that, and I know that. Let's hope we'll be able to convince the cops.
If we don't lose our nerve, there won't be any cops.
Isn't that a car coming up the hill?
Yeah. Let's hope it's Barry.
Ah, there it comes. Round the corner now.
Oh, thank goodness that's him.
Yeah, yeah, and there's Bill right behind him on the bike. It looks like we're in business, Jack.
That's right, mate. Let's go and rob a bank.
The stolen car pulls into a loading zone outside the central bank in Musgrave Road. A powerful motorbike eases to a stop behind it. The rider, Bill Mason, carefully stalls the engine and lifts the bike onto its stand. He watches as the three men in the car duck below the windows, hastily donning black hoods. He feels in his pocket and is reassured by the cold barrel of an automatic pistol. The driver of the car signals to him. Mason nods briefly and walks through the glass doors into the bank. He stops at the foreign exchange counter.
Good day, sir. Can I help you?
Yes, it's about some money in England. I want to get it out here, you see.
Yes, sir.
Well, I want you to help me, to organize it all. How long will it take?
Well, I'm afraid I'll have to know more about it than that, sir. It depends how much is involved and how much you actually...
Will everybody please stand perfectly still and raise their hands?
What's going on? I mean...
You heard the man. Up with your hands.
That's a gun.
Clever boy. And if you're very good, it won't go off.
All the tellers will release the catches on their locks. They will do nothing to stop my two colleagues from entering their cubicles and filling those kit bags they carry. Is that understood? Right. Get to it.
No, you can't...
They can, Charm, and don't you dare try and stop them.
You're quite mad. You'll never get away with this.
Who's that?
That's the manager, Mr. Lamb.
Don't you dare to...
You, Lamb, stay just where you are. Don't move or I'll shoot your teller.
The police have been called. They'll be here in seconds.
I don't think so. You haven't gone near the alarm switch.
Right, they finished. Come on, Bill, let's pull out.
You lot stay exactly where you are. I'm taking this man with me.
No,
if any of you make a move to follow us or ring that alarm, he gets it. Walk.
Release that man. Release him at once.
All in good time.
Doors open, Bill.
Right, mate. Inside and stay there.
Simple. Just like I said it would be. Right, now to the car. Bill, you take the bike and stick to the route we decided.
Right.
Okay, Jack, take it away.
Hang on, Jack. Bill's got trouble.
Look at him. Blasted bike won't start. What's he doing?
He's doing his best.
It's not good enough. Bill, leave it. Get over here.
Heck, I'm sorry, Jack. Won't start. Wires loose or something.
Never mind, mate. Get in.
They'll have hit that alarm switch by now. We've got to get out of here.
p.m. The stolen car slams into gear and dodges into the stream of traffic, leaving the stranded motorbike propped on the pavement behind it. Scant seconds later, the raucous burglar alarm on the outside of the bank wall clangs into life. The bank's doors burst open and frightened and bewildered employees stream onto the pavement.
Pienaar, you saw them. Which way did they go?
Back that way, Mr. Lab, towards Sydenham Road.
Is that police car? They must...
But give them a chance, sir. We only just started the alarm.
Did you get the number of the car?
No, sir, I didn't. It was too far off.
Oh, where's that police car? We've got to catch them. They won't get away with this. They can't.
Within minutes, two cars attached to the Durban radio squad are on the scene. A description of the getaway car is flashed to patrol cars throughout the city, and detectives of the murder and robbery squad are called to the bank. Lieutenant Gerald Crosby and Warrant Officer Peter Kitoff question the staff, carefully reconstructing the crime.
Now then, Mr. Lamb, let's get back over that again. There were four men, you say?
Yes, that's right. Three of them were masked. Who did you know?
And the fourth wasn't. Yes, that's a trick that's been used before. Get one man close to the counter without raising suspicion. Go on.
Well, that was it. They came into the teller's cages, stuffed the money into two kit bags and left.
Taking one of your tellers as far as the door?
As a hostage, yes. I didn't dare set off the alarm until he was safe.
Of course. Now, they spoke to you?
Only two of them. The man without a mask and one of the others. The two men with the kit bags didn't say a word.
Did you form any impression of the men? Not their descriptions, we already have those. What about their manner, their speech? They seem particularly rough types.
No, that's just it. They were very well spoken. They seemed to be educated boys.
They were very young?
Well, not exactly teenagers, you know. Early 20s, I'd say. Very intelligent.
Why do you say that?
Well, they knew exactly what they were doing. Where to find the money, where the alarm switch was, everything.
Mm. They did they? It struck you as a well-planned operation.
Mm? Oh, yes, very well planned. The whole thing couldn't have taken more than about 10 minutes.
Sir, excuse me, sir.
What's the matter, Mr. Kitoff?
Something outside I think you should take a look at, sir.
Outside?
Yes, sir. Something you left behind. A motorcycle. Yeah, there it is, sir.
You sure it's stolen?
You reported about an hour ago. It was taken from the beachfront.
Now, what on earth would they want with a motorbike? According to the teller, they made their getaway in a car.
The bike wouldn't start, sir. Look... He spooled these ignition wires out to start it, and they've slipped out again. They've come adrift. No wonder it wouldn't start.
Right, Mr. Kitoff, have them fingerprinted and bring it over to headquarters. So far, it's the only clue we've got.
The head of the Port Natal murder and robbery squad is Captain George Fisher. His office that Tuesday afternoon is a calm oasis in a stormy police headquarters. The police machine has moved into top gear.
This is the latest picture, is it?
That's it, sir. Everything we have so far. What do you think, sir?
I think this is one of the strangest bank robberies I've ever come across.
Why do you say that, sir?
Well, look at it. It doesn't follow any of the established patterns, except possibly this bit about the unmasked man getting up to the counter.
You mean the type of people involved?
Partly that, and partly the way they went about it. Their ages, their whole behavior pattern. It looks like a very carefully planned amateur affair. Another thing, the prints from that motorbike. They're still checking with Pretoria, but those prints don't appear on any of our files of known criminals. Bank robbery is big league stuff. You very seldom find it being attempted by criminals who haven't graduated through petty theft and one or two armed robberies. This man hasn't one single conviction to his name.
The very fact that he left prints on the bike should be a pointer.
Exactly. Now, I think I've got something that might help you.
What is it, sir?
A car. We found an abandoned car up on Berman Drive. It was reported stolen from the beachfront area about the same time that the bike went missing. It's a Walker Swift. That's the make of car our young friends were seen to make their getaway in. Do you think it's worth a visit?
I certainly do, sir. Have they left the car where it is?
Still up in Berman Bush, for all I know.
Good, I'll get up there as soon as I can.
nearly at the top of the hill now, sir.
Right, Mr. Kidoff. Keep your eyes open. That car's supposed to be in a view sight near the top.
A view sight up ahead, sir.
There's the car. Walker Swift. Dark blue. The teller said he thought it was green.
Yeah, and somebody else described it as black.
Put in there and let's have a look at it. I'm pretty sure that's the car.
Yeah, it couldn't be any other. Yeah, who'd steal a car at 12 and leave it way up here only hours later?
Unless it already had served its purpose.
Yeah. Silver dust in the door handles. Yeah, the fingerprint boy's already been over it.
Well, then it's our turn. We're going to search that car, Mr. Kidoff. We're going to search it until we find something.
Well, that's it.
Hey, what a party that turned out to be, huh?
Tremendous. I've got to hand it to you, Jack. Brilliant organization.
Yeah, well done, Jack.
Easiest day's work of my life. Who said crime doesn't pay?
Well, it's going to. Right now. Hey, Andy, you get into the kitchen and organize us a little celebration drink. Then we can get down to the serious business of the afternoon.
What's that?
Dividing the money, mate. Dividing the money.
Great. Just one thing, though, eh? Let's get those guns back. I'll feel a lot safer when they're locked away.
Yeah, fine. Here's mine.
And mine.
Hey, imagine their faces if we told them they weren't loaded, eh?
Yeah. And there's mine. Bill, let's have yours.
What's the matter, Bill?
The gun, it was here in my pocket.
Oh, you haven't lost it.
It was there when I jumped into the car outside the bank. I felt it there. It must have fallen out in the car, slipped behind the back seat.
Oh, you fool!
That's torn it.
I'm sorry, Jack. Honestly, I am.
I hired those guns. I got a temporary license and hired them. They've got my name. They trace the blasted thing. We've got to get it back.
How are you doing, Mr. Kidoff?
Nothing very exciting here, sir.
Come and give me a hand over here, will you?
What are you going to do, sir?
Lift up this back seat. Never know, something might have slipped down here. You take that side, will you?
All right, sir. Got it.
Let's have a look down here. Well, well, well. Look at that.
Yeah, a pistol.
Now, do you think that got there?
You think they tried to hide it there, sir?
Hardly likely. They must have known we'd find it. I think it slipped down here by accident. Oh, they're going to be very unhappy people when they find it's missing. I hope you don't have any plans for a few hours, Mr. Kidoff.
Why is that, sir?
We're going to hide our car down the road a bit and make ourselves comfortable in that patch of bush and wait. I think the odds are pretty steeply in favor of our young friends coming back up here to collect their missing gun.
Apart from a broken back, I'm fine, thank you, sir.
Patience, Mr. Kidoff. They'll be here. They've probably waited for nightfall.
There's a car coming down the hill from the Ridge roadside, sir.
Let's hope this is it. Slowing down. I think this is it.
Only one man, sir.
But he's heading straight for the back door of the car. This is one of them, all right. You get between him and his car just in case he makes a run for it. Right, let's get him. You lost something?
What? Who are you?
Police.
Police, that's it.
What's your name?
Phillips. Jack Phillips, look, this is all very simple.
You'll have plenty of opportunity to do that. I'm arresting you, Mr. Phillips, on a charge of armed robbery.
Lost no time in supplying the police with the names and addresses of his three accomplices, and before 11 the next morning, the police had arrested all four suspects and recovered all but 150 runts of the missing money. Less than 12 hours had passed since the holdup in Musgrave Road. At their subsequent trial, they were found guilty on one count of armed robbery and two of theft. In passing sentence, the judge took into account the ages of the four young men and the fact that their firearms had not been loaded. They were each sentenced to 9 years imprisonment, three of which were suspended for 3 years.
They prowl the empty streets at night, waiting, in fast cars, on foot, living with crime and violence. These men are on duty 24 hours out of every 24. They face dangers at every turn, expecting nothing less. They protect the people of South Africa. These are the men of squad cars.
Listen again next Friday evening to another dramatic story in our authentic South African police series, Squad Cars. Squad Cars is directed by Colin Fish and produced by David Goodman.